So, principle number 7 is sexual intercourse. Yes, it took us a little bit of time to get here, all the way up to number 7, and I want to give 2 reasons for that before I dive into the subject. The first reason is really that it takes a lot of maturity to talk about sex, and we see way too much immaturity around sex these days. And number 2 is that approaching sexuality, talking about sex, requires or is the same as approaching a mystery. So on point number 1, there's a reason why we don't allow small children to have sex. You know, it requires a certain level of maturity. There's actually a legal age of consent in pretty much all countries. Most countries, it's from 14 to 18. And these laws are put in place to protect children against abuse. But, you know, having the maturity to engage in sex has less to do with your physical age and more to do with your ability to take responsibility in your life and be able to be take responsibility for your own actions and decisions. So I'll freely admit here that I was probably well up in years, far above 18 years old, before I was really taking full responsibility for my life and understood the consequences of what it meant to put children into the world, especially. And if you look at previous generations, then, you know, normally men actually had to take responsibility for their lives at a very much younger age than the kind of society that we have today. So already at the age of 15, there was no other alternative for men, especially if they wanted to have sex with a woman, then they had to take full responsibility for their own life and for other people. And today we have 50-year-old men who've never in their life taken responsibility for themselves, let alone anybody else as well. So, you know, how are these guys ever going to be able to, you know, take responsibility or be mature enough to father a child? So I'm going to be really blunt here and say that, you know, if you're not financially independent, if you're still living off the state and sponging, you know, from them or from your parents, then you're not mature enough to be having sex. You know, you need to get your life sorted out first before you even start thinking about sex as well. Okay, that was point number 1. Point number 2 is that approaching sex is approaching a mystery, and we need to understand this in some way. Everybody knows that having that conversation about sex between a parent and a child is a very, very difficult thing. And why is that? Well, I think a big part of it is because as a parent, you love your child. You want your child to have the most fulfilling and beautiful life in many ways. And you know that sexuality is a big part of that as well. You've had your own successes and shortcomings in your own life. And it's still difficult to how to connect with this child, how to bridge that gap. And I think it's because you know that somehow, because sexuality is this mystery of life, that by putting too many words on it, putting too much of a kind of box around it or explaining it in some way of something that your child has no first-hand experience of, it's going to kind of like take away from that mystery of it as well. And so in some ways, there's an aspect whereby approaching a mystery, there's an advantage to coming there without any preconceived ideas and going into that and treating it as the most beautiful and sacred thing that you possibly can. A good example of how to mess this up is, you know, when the state realized that parents aren't doing this very well, then the state decided, oh, no, well, we're going to do sex education in schools. And so if you look at sex education in schools, then what it really involves is, like, you know, putting condoms onto bananas and stuff like that, which is, you know, like the most debased and, you know, degrading understanding of sexuality at all. It's a completely wrong focus, you know, by looking at the physical mechanics of sex instead of understanding the depth and the beauty and the sacredness of it as well. So this is a difficult thing to approach, but I think the most important thing that we can hold on to here is that sexual intercourse is the most intimate and sacred act that you can ever do together with another person. It keeps that kind of sacred and intimate nature when you do it with one other person, and when you do it under a very specific set of circumstances, which means that it's in a fully committed relationship, and that commitment kind of encompasses every aspect of your life, where there's a shared goal of being united with another human being. And that makes it become, you know, the most deep and powerful and transformative experience that it can never be. Also the most challenging as well, of course, because then it really forces us to deal with all the kinds of parts of ourselves that don't fit together with this other human being, because there's a physical uniting that's happening that is unable to happen when there's, you know, we're holding too tightly onto our own egoistic, selfish desires or whatever it is, right? So it's something that forces us to learn what love is in the very deepest sense. And obviously we're going to get to children afterwards, which is obviously where, you know, love really becomes an unavoidable requirement for moving forward in our lives. So, you know, what happens is when we treat sex as a mystery, when we're able to have a proper amount of maturity to understand what it's really about, so we're not just going for the instant gratification of pleasure, then it raises sexuality from just being this kind of like physical penetration and rubbing genitals with friction to get a little kick of pleasure, which is always going to be unfulfilling. You know, it's never going to fulfill, especially when we're just doing it with new people all the time. But when you do it in a deeper way, in a mature way that understands the mystery of it, then it becomes this physical, mental, and spiritual penetration of your entire being, uniting with another being and incorporating the full personhood of a man and a woman and the masculine and the feminine in that interaction as well. And it becomes like this melting together of those aspects of your personalities which resist understanding the full breadth of reality in some ways. And so, you know, we have had this sexual revolution in our society, and one of the unfortunate consequences of it, you know, it's not like there wasn't, like, sexuality was perfect beforehand. Like, don't get me wrong. You know, it's not like everything was just hunky-dory in the 1950s. But the sexual revolution has also created this, like, kind of pornification of society, which is fixated people have become obsessed about like the kind of like mechanics, the physicality of sex, and we've lost that sacredness of it as well. And so especially in young men and women today, there's a cheapening of sexuality and there's a lack of understanding of the depth of the mystery of sexual reality. So yeah, I hope that has at least got you thinking a little bit more about it. And we're going to continue this next, talking about how sexual relationship with a woman can help to form our lives. So, thanks.